Hi, I'm Kelly B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, and I'm gonna start with the first memory I have of being obsessed with myself. It, of course, I'm an overeater. It had to do with weight. I was in second grade, and we went in to get weighed in front of the whole class, and our teacher stood right next to us. And again, I was in second grade, and I weighed 98 pounds. And I went, yes, because I thought I could get to 100 and then I would be perfect. And my teacher in front of the whole class said, you should not celebrate that. You should be ashamed of yourself. And I don't have any resentment towards that teacher, but what I'd really like to do is go back and give myself a hug at that point and say, you're an addict and you need help and it's not your fault. But I didn't know that till I was 40. So I spent about 35 years, I guess 34 years, obsessed. And so some ways that that looked like, my primary addiction is mostly more food. And if it's has flour or if it has sugar in it, I really want more. That presented itself really strongly in my family through holidays, celebrations, birthdays, events. That was an acceptable time to binge. It was always followed by restriction, though. Everybody in the family was into the Monday morning, I'm going to be a new person. And so if we were binging on a holiday, then as soon as the holiday was over, we were going to get back on track and lose a bunch of weight, be really healthy and exercise. And that justified the binge. So it was what I would consider like the justified feast, and then followed by the famine, which was restriction. I first started with extreme exercising when I was in sixth and seventh grade. I got into sports and I realized that the more that I moved, the more I exercised, the more I could eat. And so exercise was always driven by food consumption. That got pretty intense through high school, where it became, and I didn't know this at the time, but now I can look back and say it became a form of bulimia. But I was still going back and forth between the acceptable feasts and the inevitable famine or, restriction. So I went to college and for the first time was kind of on my own. And I was around friends who were pretty healthy, but it was like the first time I was like a dog off a leash, right? And I'm going to chase the 18-wheeler. So, I really started to eat and there wasn't anybody paying attention. So first time I really started to gain some weight. Still followed by a lot of exercise bulimia and still some restriction. I get to my first job. I move away from home. I'm not surrounded by friends. My dad gets super sick. I'm completely on my own. And that's when I think the 18-wheeler ran me over that, and I didn't care. It's just, I needed the food so bad. And I said to a therapist once, this was before OA, that food was like a warm hug to me. I'm not stupid about, well, yes, I am stupid about food. I've done really stupid things with food, but it worked. So in that sense, I was doing something that worked. I was binging and I would feel comforted. And then I wouldn't be able to fit into my clothes and a binge would fix that. And then I'd get broken up with by a boy because I was selfish and dishonest. And I would eat and that would fix that. And it just was the solution. I went back to grad school, met a boy. He was healthy and exercised a lot. So the chameleon and the real addict to others' approval came out, right, again. And I lost a bunch of weight through exercise bulimia and restriction. And then I get another job and I'm out in the middle of nowhere on my own and the eating comes back. And so the roller coaster starts. And the best I can explain it is I was like a hamster on a wheel, and I was just running through the gambit of binge, remorse, restriction, binge, remorse, restriction. And I never really had to deal with anything. And I did some really cool stuff that I wish I had been able to focus on. And what I remember is the food. That's really what I remember. And so I gained a lot of weight. The binging became a lot more than the restricting. The exercise bulimia couldn't keep up with the binging. So at the age of 40, it was COVID, and I had gotten to my top weight of 269.8. I've met a lot of compulsive overeaters who can be very specific about our weight, our highs, our lows. We're pretty number conscientious about that. And my sister had joined OA and she was losing a ton of weight. And I had always been the thin one in the family until I was the second thinnest. And then I was the third thinnest. And then I was the biggest. And my people pleasing and comparison, conflict, all that stuff that came into play. And I couldn't be the fattest one in the family. And she was losing a ton of weight. And I asked her how she was doing it. And she said, OA, there's a meeting every day. And that was it, right? People talk about like your elevator speech or, how you're going to introduce people. But really, I just wanted to lose weight. And she said, here's a way. And I knew I didn't have to pay money because I had spent a lot of money on diets and pantry overhauls and exercise programs. So I went to my first meeting. It was the second Tuesday in September, 5 years ago. And I've been in OA for 5 years. I had sort of a temporary sponsor, and then I got a big book sponsor. And on October 23rd, 2020, I put down flour, sugar, and alcohol. And I'm not a member of the beverage program. I don't drink because it lowers my inhibitions. And when I drink, I want to eat. The alcohol is not my end game. Face first into the food is my end game. So I try to stay off of roads that lead me to face first in the food. I was really blessed with a sponsor who was steeped in the big book. She said, we're going to read the big book together. We're going to follow the directions. And you got to believe what Dr. Silkworth says about abstaining, that you can't have it in any form. So I worked the steps with my first sponsor. It took about 2.5 months. Step one, I was already there. I was completely out of control. The first part where we admitted we were powerless over food, I sort of glazed over the unmanageable part. I was like, yeah, next. That will come to play in a minute. And step two, I'd always been religious, not a problem. Step three, sure, God, absolutely. Moving on. And then step four, oh, my sponsor was. She's really tricky. She said, write down a list of everyone you resent. And I was like, thank you, God. It's about time. I have been waiting to do this my whole life. So I put 200 plus names on a list. I was like, yes. And then she told me what I had to do with all of the names. And I 100% honestly, I would not have put that many names if I had known the work that I had to do. It took me a little longer than my sponsor wanted it to, but I did it. And I only get 19 words to explain why I'm resentful. And I said how it affects me. And then I went after it. The fourth column is where I put my most writing, my most time. Where was I dishonest? There was a lot of that. Where was I selfish? In every relationship, everyone was steeped in selfishness and fear. And even the fear for me is it's all self-centeredness. So I did my fifth step. I think it was in sometime in December. It took about 5 plus hours, maybe. I don't know. God bless this woman. She knows me. She knows everything about me. She spent a lot of time, and she didn't call the cops, and she didn't say I should quit my job and move to a, like a convent or something. So I was really grateful that for everybody in this program who can hear my crazy and hold it with love. This first time through the steps, we went through step 6 and 7 in like 2.5 minutes. She's like, yep, you got it. Okay, moving on. And we get to step 8. I had a lot of nerves, but I wrote them out. And the way my first sponsor had me do it was write out what you're going to say, clear it with me first, and then as many as possible, do them in person. So I did that. It was terrifying. Most of the amends that I made were people were just so gracious and kind. And oh, don't worry about it, not a big deal. But the ones that changed me, this is hard to say, were the ones that cried, that said, yeah, what you did hurt me. And it means a lot to me that you're apologizing. And step 10, moving on to, we went pretty quickly. I was so reluctant to do step 10. I had done 4 and 5. I had taken that shop vac to my soul, and I'd sucked out all the ugly, and I told her about it. And then I'd gone to all these people that I'd messed up, and I didn't want to, fear, right? I didn't want to look at myself in the mirror again. So I was like, meh. I don't really need to do that. Step 11, I'll sit quietly with God. But that was also hard because if I'm not doing inventory, it's hard for me to sit quietly with my higher power. Step 12, I love being a sponsor. It's probably the best thing in my life that I have, second only to my higher power. I've always really enjoyed talking. So I'll talk to people about program all the time. And fast forward about 8 or 9 months. I was not doing step 10s. It was hard for me to sit still and pray and meditate in step 11. And I thought that step 12 was just showing up to meetings and being a sponsor whenever someone called me and said, be my sponsor. So I got back in the food. I didn't pick up the flour and the sugar again, but the quantity came. And artificial sugar became a problem. And all I can say is the quantity. I thought I was abstinent by eating 3 plates of my air quotes abstinent food. And I broke my family with an ill-advised amends. It was not a program-based amends. It was a Kelly being dishonest and selfish amends. And I did it to my sister who introduced me to OA. And I didn't clear it with my sponsor. I just said, hey, I did this, I lied, and hope you're not upset. And she was. It broke our family. And it's been 4 years since, I think my math is right. I don't know, numbers are hard. 3 or 4 years, and we are okay. But our actions, especially when they aren't steeped in program and recovery and checked with our fellows in program, they have consequences. And one of the big consequences of me not doing step 10 and not doing step 11 and not really doing step 12 is I broke my family. And I regret that every day. It pushed me into feeling completely shattered and into the food. Thankfully, I never went back to the flour or sugar, but the compulsions just reared their ugly head. So it took me about a year until I could ask someone for help. I found somebody who had something I wanted. And I said, I'm a real mess. Like, I'm real ugly inside, and I've done things that have hurt people, and I need help. And she said, are you willing to do anything? And I said, well, I'm going to lose my job if I run through town naked. But other than that, yes. And she said, sure, fine. I'm not going to make you do that. So, also a big book sponsor. And This time I read the big book. Like I was a teenager again and I was reading a romance novel. But I couldn't get enough of it. And I stayed up late and I read it and I underlined it and I cried and I would call her. We talked every day and I would read a section of the big book and then I'd have to talk to her about it. How do you connect to it? How do you eat like our founders drank, and how do you think like they think, and how did you act like they acted? And step one, how can I not admit that my life was manageable? It wasn't at all. I was hurting people a lot, and not just my sister and her family, but a lot of people were being hurt by someone who was quote unquote, right, recovered. And step two, did I actually believe that my higher power could change me and would? That became a really big deal for me. Took me a little time to get there. And yes, that's a step I have to take every day. And step three, my sponsor made me take that part of the big book and rewrite it in the lens of Kelly, and then to rewrite the third step prayer. And I prayed that prayer with my now sponsor, and I just cried because my God can handle my ugly. He can handle the fact that I am dishonest and selfish, and my higher power will change me. And the fourth step, this the second time around, was not over 200 people, but it was big. And it was thorough. And my step five, my sponsor did not hang up on me and scream. We spent time through six and seven because, again, it sort of links for me to that step two and three. Like, do I want my higher power to take these away? My grasping for public approval, for attention. Yeah, that's hurt me, but do I really want a higher power to take that away? So we got through it and we got to step eight. And I did all the amends that we felt we needed to do, except the amends to my sister and her family. And I was on the phone and I said, I know that if I don't do this amends, I'm going to eat again. And F this, I'd rather eat again. And I hung up the phone with my sponsor. And I went to the couch and I had about a 20-minute temper tantrum. And I'm so blessed to have an open communication with my higher power. And my higher power blessed me with a reminder of what it's like when I'm in the food. And I want to drive my car in front of an 18-wheeler when I'm in the food. I just hate everything. Mostly myself. I hate everything.
Gentle
And
reminder, 2 minutes left.
thank you. Thank you so much. So I called my sponsor back and I said, okay, fine, fine. I'll do it. Whatever. I can't go back. And I did the amends. There was a lot of tears on both sides. And it opened up communication to the point where we can be in the same space. And that is a miracle, an absolute miracle. And now I have to do step 10, 11, and 12, or I'm going to be that hamster on the wheel again. So what that looks like for me is I wake up in the morning and I think about the 24 hours ahead, and I do spot check inventory through the day. And I every night I do a review and I text my sponsor, and I heard it in a meeting yesterday that said, just tell your sponsor you're ugly. Just get it out there. And then step 11 is I sit down and I shut up and I listen. And step 12 is I will help anyone that I possibly can. That includes 2 days ago, I got a text, hey, will you speak at this meeting? Absolutely. I would be honored to share my ugly and my recovery with anyone that I possibly can. And I'm so thankful. I even worship to say how thankful I am for everybody in this room. You save my life every day. And with that, I pass.